Well, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Monday morning on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We are so glad you're along for this 13th day of September 2021. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. You're waking up to a coolish morning. Final week of summer beginning today. That's right. We'll turn officially to fall starting next weekend. And for this final week of summer, kind of a mixed bag. Today and tomorrow look pretty nice. Sunshine today, 21. Mostly sunny, especially earlier in the day tomorrow, 22. Could see some clouds and showers maybe on Wednesday, 22 again. Normal high for this time of year is around 20 or 21. So we're right around normal temperature-wise as you wake up this morning, a little on the crisp side. Not overly. 12 degrees as you head out this morning. And as we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
Outstanding, JR. And just, yeah, one of those classic fall weekends, right? Right into routine, kids back to school, little NFL Sunday, played a little golf on Friday at the Wally and Mathot Classic. So, yeah, it was just a real, real beautiful weekend.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Is it okay to call it a classic when it's the first ever?
You know, I don't know. That's actually, I guess it is. It's just classic.
Yeah.
It's classic.
Okay.
It's going on.
It's classy.
Yeah.
So, which makes it a classic.
Yeah.
Okay,
and a shout out to Wayne McKinnon, who I ended up playing with, him and a couple of his buddies. And I just kept thinking, Jer, I wish you could see me today. I was stroking that bad boy so well. It was just the one day I was just right in the zone. I'm like, man, all the other times I played, it was just a great day at the Canadian. I was hitting it so well. And thought, what the hell's going on here? Now, I do credit because I've been doing more back exercises lately. Felt like my body was just more well-rounded. And man, I just that day. I'm sure you've had way more of them. You'd line up for the 15-foot putt and somehow it'd find a way to go right in.
Sounds like you captained your team to victory.
No, we end up even par, but they used probably 99% of my shots, so I considered that to be a pretty good day. But
does that speak to your skill level or perhaps that Wayne and friends had not quite as good a day?
Well, you know what? One of the fellas was an old member at Kanata, and he's a little bit older, and he's had a one knee replaced, one hip, another knee to go. So they're just, you know, just
bit of a tin man, as it were.
Well, I wouldn't even call it that. He's just a little bit older.
And it had nothing to do with his heart, just the fact he's got some manufactured pieces to his body now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
But no, we end up having a nice day. And it was just one of those fall days to be out on the course. It was in great shape, so enjoyed that. Pretty quiet Saturday, and then yesterday was just to settle into the routine, and boy, we ended up having Zach, who was 13 when Amira's boys had some friends over. And it is incredible, JR, as I've said, every one of these kids now is in a football fantasy pool. So I ended up buying DAZN and watching Red Zone yesterday. I wanted to watch that. They wanted to watch it. I know. But for the kids that are
just
in fantasy,
the scores?
Well, no, but it's interesting, guys. And I'm just saying, the way it's trending, like for those kids, I'm like, who's your favorite team? And they all have a team. But at the end of the day, the whole chatter the whole day was all about fantasy and wanted to switch over. And I said, hey, that's fine, but come 4:25, we've got to lock it down here. We're going to watch the Pats play. So, but enjoyed, just enjoyed a real good football Sunday. And you must have enjoyed watching your Eagles kick some butt.
Dismantle. The Atlanta Falcons, who I think I called to make the playoffs. And I'd like a take back on that.
Yeah.
They were a final. I wasn't quite sure where I wanted to go. So I went with Atlanta pick in our, when we did our little pick'em thing with Duke.
Yeah.
Man, they looked terrible. They looked terrible.
Yeah.
They looked.
Did the Eagles look good?
One game. Yes.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
Lots to be encouraged about, but you're always a little bit kind of looking at the other team going, did that team like play in the preseason? Do they have any players? Like Atlanta was super stinking.
So hard
to kind of gauge. Eagles get the Niners this weekend. This will be a much bigger test.
Yeah.
That's a large step up the competition scale.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And Hammer, your Seahawks with a nice tidy win over the Colts yesterday.
Never in doubt right there. Everybody just preaching about their Colts and Carson Wentz, and they're going
Nobody preaches about Carson Wentz.
I know, exactly. But there were some voices that were talking about Carson Wentz. Not a chance. Not with old Russ there leading the Seattle Seahawks offense. Boy, that deep ball second and 20 to Tyler Lockett. Hello, right, like you like to deem it, right in the basket.
Yeah, drop her right into the bread basket. Yeah, I've had Russell Wilson on my fantasy football teams. I've got two of them. At some point, I think each of the last 4 years, so the first year I don't have him, and I must admit,
I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss him greatly.
Oh, but he's a good first half player, JR. By week nine,
yes,
you're going to be in some trouble.
He had to drop off last year.
Well, no, last couple of years has been that, has he not?
Yes.
Yeah, and I thought the theme of yesterday, guys, was feeling a little bit bad. Only game, one game, but for the Bills fans, all the hype and the excitement, and the poor Steelers come in. And then I've got to admit, not much of an Aaron Rodgers guy. So watching him get just absolutely torched and obliviated and sacked and smacked around, I actually find to be that quite enjoying. Not to mention Jameis Winston, of all people, just having an absolute great day. That was, to me, like, wow, that was a big old shocker.
That was, as I kind of go through all the scores, and there were some certainly some upsets. But, you know, week one, we kind of see some, this is where you get a kind of a little bit of the lay of the land.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
The biggest shocker, I think, for people. If you just kind of woke up this morning, didn't know anything of what went on yesterday, and you went through the scores, you went, what?
Yeah.
Green Bay lost 38-3 to New Orleans?
Yeah, I'd say that along with Houston just cruising along with Tyrod Taylor and probably realizing, wow, maybe we'll just cut Deshaun Watson instead of paying him the dough. That was big for sure. And then just thinking, if you're a Lions fan, you thought maybe the first game of the year you fool everybody and actually have a decent outing, and you're like, man, it's going to be another opportunity. And now could set a record. It's no longer 0-16. You got an opportunity to go 0-17 and put yourself into the record books.
I get the credit for coming back, man. It was 38-10. They came back and made a game of it. So
I think
they're lacking a lot of talent. But any team that's got some heart didn't mail it in the second half. I'll give them some credit. I'm not going to totally wipe them out after one game. So anyway, we'll cap off our week one with Monday Night Football for you tonight here on TSN 1200. Baltimore Ravens, the injury-ravaged Ravens, will take on the Las Vegas Raiders tonight at 8 o'clock. Hammer, how was your baseball weekend down in, was it Mississauga or Oshawa?
No, we were in Mississauga, taking on a bunch of teams in the Toronto Eastern Ontario Baseball League. Played a bunch of dads on Friday night. My God, those lads were huge. They all looked like they drove to the game themselves. Shaved fresh in the morning and already had that stubble ready to go for an evening
game. So you took on a team of Italians is what you're saying.
Oh, man, they were mad. But it was a great game. Uh-huh. They lost that one 7-5. Mm-hmm. Saturday morning, little tough going early on. Dropped that one, and then we finished off the tourney with a win Saturday. And then we stuck around. One of the rare times this summer that we've had a Friday night where you haven't had to get up early on Sunday. So
Saturday night, you mean?
Saturday night, that's where you had to get up early Sunday.
Yeah,
if
evening. If Friday night drifts into Sunday morning, then you know you've had a really good time.
Big time.
Yeah, exactly.
Big time. So we hosted in our room, hosted a nice little gathering, watched the Jays just come back on,
crazy.
Two
no both
hits.
Games.
Yeah. And then game two, no hit through six innings. Then, wow. Where'd 11 runs come from?
Put up 11 hits and 11 runs in an inning. Yeah.
No, but it was a great weekend. Great weekend.
All right. How much fall ball is left?
We got a ton of fall ball left.
Okay.
Got some exhibition games.
No more out-of-town tournaments, though?
Out-of-town for the dads is done. There is one more out-of-towner, but that's a mom's trip.
Okay.
And that's back to Oshawa. For whatever reason, the dads never get Oshawa.
I can tell you why. How does how does Toronto exactly qualify as Eastern Ontario?
I don't know.
It's just out of interest.
Just what they call their league. There's like 34 teams, and they all range in talent, as we found out. What looks to be college graduates to little leaguers.
I'm sensing just a touch of bitterness.
Oh, no, Hammer.
Are you saying there's some manufactured birth certificates?
No, there
isn't that, JR. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just a maturity. When we go down there to play minor hockey, I would swear, I'm like, come on, man, we are just boys. I'm not shaving anything at this point. They just, honestly, I was so intimidated. Toronto Red Wings, Toronto Marlies, you end up playing St. Michael's, and I just felt like, man, these guys are all huge, and they all feel like they're 3 or 4 years older than you. Hey?
It's okay to have a couple. I understand that you can find a few in the weeds, but for a full squad of young adult males, that one I'm finding a little far-fetched, a little bit of a nose stretcher here.
This is not like...
They're from Cambridge.
This is not soccer we're talking about, where you have to produce a card. So when one of my kids played competitive soccer, you actually had a card, an Ontario soccer card, which had your picture on it and actually had your date of birth on it. And the referee, if you were in the starting lineup, everybody would line up on one. Both teams would face each other, okay? And the referee would go up, he'd grab the card, look at you, and then go right down the line of girls and then all the way back the other way. No cards at this?
I have never seen that in baseball. Definitely no cards for that, because I'm sure they would have had to remove their driver's licenses to get to the cards that
They have an age of majority. They can go to the liquor store.
That's why they asked when we were leaving, anybody need anything? We can get some for your boys. No problems there.
That's just good bitterness. That came across in spades, so well done on that one.
Oh, we were having some fun with it with all the parents.
All right. Well, it was certainly a busy weekend. We got lots to go through. NFL, the Red Blacks fall again. Thankfully, maybe, into a bye week. We're going to have Paul Appelese on, Red Blacks head coach. We'll stop by just after 8 o'clock. We'll get his review of what went down Saturday night in BC and how this thing can be fixed. Because the Red Blacks are in a they're in a tough spot right now with 4 straight losses, 1-4. Thankfully, the Eastern Division, nobody's running away with anything right now. I guess there's one silver lining right now. There's that. The Red Blacks have not fallen completely out of the playoff race, but they've got little time to right the ship. So we'll talk to Paul Appelese coming up after 8. After 9, Duke Ellingson will be by. Our football analyst will go through the NFL weekend with him. We'll have our TSN $1,200 minute. Maybe this week will be the week we give away the $1,000. It's been too long. All right, we'll do that just before 8 o'clock. And it's a Red Blacks Jersey Monday contest. We've got a couple of code words for you today between now and 10 o'clock. Stand by for that. Your chance to get into the grand prize draw for your very own customized Red Blacks jersey. All right, we got that. We got some hockey news to get through. Of course, the baseball story as well, as we're down to the final 3 weeks of the season. That and a whole bunch more here on this Monday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Be a Wednesday night home game. In fact, their next two games are Wednesday and Tuesday nights, which is unusual. We'll put it that way. And for a team that is struggling right now and with the fan base kind of teetering, they've got maybe this week to kind of figure some things out, maybe get some new people in there and try to get this ship righted.
Yeah, saw Sudsy downstairs, JR, and kind of asking him, you know, with Lapo, boy, oh boy. And he said, you know what, he is the best guy ever, great guy. But he just said, man, oh man, does he take it so serious? As do a lot of people, but when it comes to the losing, man, just eats them alive. And we've certainly seen that as we've gone along. And expecting from, we didn't talk to him last week, from 2 weeks ago when you did talk about the 3-15 season. And he was quickly kind of like, come on, man, we're 1-2. I was like, well, you know, we'll see what his mood is here this morning. I don't think it's going to be overly great.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So we'll look forward to that. And Duke Ellingson will join us. We'll talk NFL. We'll get to NFL week one in just a second. But we need to get a quick update for everybody that was breathlessly hanging on over the weekend. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah.
Anything new on the Brady Tkachuk front?
No. You know, yesterday had a little meeting with Echo the dog. She had talked to the Chuckster's dog, and there'll be further updates here. I can say that there, as of right now, there's no thought of any movement in the sense of the Chuckster is going to be staying in the St. Louis area and doing his thing. So, hey, we'll follow up this week and see what ends up happening. I thought over the weekend, JR, kind of based on the pressure points and the fact once it came to the media a little bit, knowing the negotiations and wasn't by any means my theme on it, I thought it might come, but hey, we'll see what the week brings. I think we'd all agree going into next weekend is when it starts to intensify, to say the very least. And when is the last time that we had any type of a contract situation here in Ottawa? I'm sure there's been some, but of any real major player, like, can you think of in recent history anybody?
Are you talking about someone that was with an expired contract, unsigned?
Yeah.
By the time training camp began? I'd have to put some thought into it. There's nobody that pops into my mind.
Yeah, and more to that is that since 2004-05, and thank God they got rid of the old renegotiating contracts, because nobody has to tell that history here in Ottawa, it was one of the worst things as you go through a club, JR, because if you do it, well, then next thing you know, the next guy's coming up. It was just a terrible, terrible rule. But as far as contracts getting done, generally, you know, we don't see a whole lot of holdouts. You know, it's usually pretty easy to get done. And in this particular case, I guess with COVID, with a flat cap, with a changing landscape, makes it a little more difficult. And I think in the case of Brady Tkachuk, we'll continue to monitor the situation.
Well, we had all suspected that putting a value on some of the, you can't call them intangibles. They're tangibles he brings to the table might potentially be a problem. Now, I don't want to overstate things. Training camp is still 9 days away.
Exactly.
There are 16 restricted free agents who remain unsigned, including... You think things are a little on tenterhooks here in Ottawa. How about in Vancouver, where both Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes are unsigned as of this morning? The reigning Calder Trophy winner, Kirill Kaprizov, is unsigned by Minnesota. Rasmus Dahlin, the defenseman from Buffalo, is unsigned. Robbie Thomas in St. Louis. So there are several big name restricted free agents who are still unsigned 9 days away from training camp.
Yeah, and there's no doubt when you see that many, JR, that there is part of, hey, what's going on with the league and trying to figure out a bit of a salary scale for each player. Now, every situation is different. We're Vancouver, salary cap-wise. Kaprizov, I've always had the feeling they want to lock him up long-term and move him at some point where he wants to go shorter, and I don't think he's a big fan of Minnesota. But when you have that many, for sure it tells you within the industry that everyone's trying to kind of figure out. You never kind of want to be first and necessarily set it in a bad way, so you're trying to navigate through. So yeah, every negotiation, every situation, but that's a lot. And again, I can't remember league-wide and certainly the profile of the players. Been a long, long time since we've had that many guys, not signed this close to training camp, at least that I can remember.
Yeah, absolutely. So Kaprizov also, for me, feels he's a little bit different than the others only because of his age. He's 24 turn 25, so he actually has a bit more leverage in terms of when he'll become an unrestricted free agent. So just in terms of what he can demand, perhaps there's a little more leverage on his side of things compared to the other names who are coming out of the rookie deals, all of whom the clubs still have their rights for another 4 years. So, but as we said, my personal belief is, and I think you agree, that Brady Tkachuk, for a bunch of different reasons, maybe has more leverage in his situation here in Ottawa than some of the other teams.
Yeah, I would think so.
And players.
Yeah, and without knowing, again, even a single number, JR, or any idea, I would think at the same time, based on what Ottawa has done, and I don't mean this just from a marketing standpoint, and I'll say this with Alexander Degg when he came in. I remember being at the draft in Quebec City. It was an absolute roadie. You know, it was like, hey, we're bringing him in and we're going to give him a big contract and he's good looking and he speaks both languages. It was a marketing tool. Well, Brady Tkachuk has been a marketing tool, but he's also been an outstanding hockey player. And from the opening night when he was picked and we had him on the horn, myself, Ian, and Lee, he's just been an absolute breath of fresh air. Like the timing, and I guess that's what you also go back to. Like, could this have come at a better time? No. I mean, it was just absolutely incredible what he's brought to the franchise and how they kind of look at that and the thought of it. I really, in this case, not just, and I'm not saying, hey, throw out money like they did with Degg way back in the day, but in this particular case, if you can do something long-term without doing anything ridiculous, I just think it's money well spent. I think it solidifies the business side, but I think it also, for the true leader of your hockey team, I think it'll have a lot of other things fall into place.
Well, I think for all the reasons you said, plus confidence in the marketplace, the message it sends to your fans. That's why this negotiation, more so than any other in recent history, I think, is so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people are just waiting, and it's a bit of a show me right now. It's a show me that you can get Brady Tkachuk signed.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what they're waiting for.
Yeah, no, for
anyway,
sure.
Anyway, we'll keep you up to date on that, such as it is, throughout the next hours, days, weeks, hopefully not months.
No,
I think nobody
sure.
wants to see this drag on any longer than it needs to. But as of this morning, no new update on the Brady Tkachuk front. He remains unsigned and back in St. Louis. Okay, 6:31. Let's get to the NFL story, and we'll start with... let's start with the Sunday night game. Might as well start there because Matthew Stafford, after years of spinning his wheels in Detroit, putting up monster numbers on a really bad football team, got his first start with a really good football team, a team many people consider to be a Super Bowl contender. Here he is on, I believe, the second play. This is his second play as a Los Angeles Rams taking on the Bears.
Stafford takes the snap. He's back. He fakes the handoff, rolls to his left, flips his hips, looking, going deep. Got a man wide open. That's Jefferson. Makes the catch at the 20. Stumbles down around the 15. Gets to his feet. Runs left across the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Rams. Van Jefferson, the second-year man, made a tumbling catch. Nobody touched him. He got up and sprints into the end zone. A 66-yard touchdown pass, and the Rams are on the board first.
Welcome to Los Angeles, Matthew Stafford. You ain't in Detroit anymore, kid. He goes 20 for 26, 321 yards, three touchdowns. And the Rams, this was 34-13, makes it seem like a blowout.
Yeah.
But it was actually a one-score game early into the fourth quarter. The Rams always felt like they were in control.
Yeah.
But the Bears were just hanging around. But then L.A. kind of put the boots to them in the fourth. So
yeah.
They were a deserved Three touchdown winner.
And I felt like in watching Andy Dalton come out was like watching Cam Newton. Every play that he stepped on the field was like, how much closer are you to getting Justin Fields out there? And as far as watching Stafford play, JR, he just felt the part. And first of all, is there a more gorgeous stadium on the planet? Probably not than what they have in Los Angeles. But he's just out there. And I just thought always Goff, certainly super talented, but a very aloof person, where this guy just feels like an absolute field general. And even saw your boy Deshaun Watson running all over the place. They got an offense that has certainly been built around him.
And Deshaun Jackson, you mean?
Jackson, sorry. And man, he just, if you're a Rams fan, I think you felt really good about yesterday because he really, really looked like he was in charge, and they certainly played well.
Mentioned the shocker of the day yesterday had to be not so much that the Saints beat the Packers. It was a game not played in New Orleans like it was supposed to, but in Jacksonville, and there were a ton of Packer fans there, and there were a ton of Saints fans there. When the final score went up, it was, 38-3, New Orleans over Green Bay. It was a bad day for Aaron Rodgers.
Two on the play clock. Rodgers gets the snap away from his own end zone. Heaves it deep down the middle, double coverage. It's picked off again, this time at the 40-yard line by Marcus Williams.
And that would be one of two interceptions that Rodgers would throw on the day. Aaron Rodgers was 15 of 28 for 133 yards total and two interceptions, no touchdowns, obviously, in that loss. I know that because remember last week when I talked about the fact I ended up in one of my fantasy football teams with Aaron Rodgers, who I've never had before, and I was kind of like, because I'm kind of betwixt. I admire, the guy is uber talented. Yeah. One of the best quarterbacks we've seen in our lifetime. God, no doubt about that. Yeah. But he also gives the off the scent of my you-know-what doesn't smell.
Yeah.
And so every once in a while, you didn't mind if you, if you weren't a Green Bay fan to see him get his comeuppance. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see him get his comeuppance when he's on my fantasy football team. I'm going to lose because Aaron Rodgers got me 3 points. Three freaking points, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You let down my team.
No, I don't. Lucky he was in the positive for crying out.
But how many people had Jameis Winston on their bench? He will be an active player when it comes to that this year. And hey, you know what? If he's going to throw them up and he'd still throw a few picks here and there. But the interesting part with Aaron Rodgers, and this was quickly to pounce on it, because I'm not a fan. I loved how he bailed last year and pretended, well, I thought we were going to go for it. Well, if you're going for it on fourth down, you don't throw the ball. You actually try to run. He totally bailed on that. He came yesterday, long hair, the beard, didn't put any offseason time in, and it's only one game, JR, but it really looked like a team and a player that were not prepared. And I just watched little bits of it, but also the part I noticed, and I don't know much about the Saints defense, but man, oh man, he did not appear to have any time whatsoever.
No.
They were in his kitchen the entire day, and I don't care who you are and how good you are, man, oh man, if you don't have time to make plays, well, yeah, you're not much is going to happen. That looked like a real motivated Saints team. And if you're a Saints fan, first game after the Hall of Famer Drew Brees retiring, boy, you had to feel pretty excited about yesterday.
The money quote from Aaron Rodgers, quote, "We played bad, I played bad," end quote. And that pretty much tells the tale of the tape.
For sure.
As far as the Packers who got routed by the Saints. Of course, a lot of interest in the Bills. A lot of people think the Bills have a chance to go a long ways this year. They had a 10-0 lead on the Steelers after the first half. Second half, entirely new ball game.
And it is Matt Hawk on the kick. Pressure. Hawk has it blocked. It's scooped out for the score! Touchdown! Ulysses Gilbert the third! Big play for the Steelers!
Yeah, man, that just sounds like I don't know if it actually sounds like a football name.
Yeah.
Sounds like an explorer, like Vasco da Gama. Ulysses Gilbert the third!
Or a ship.
with the blocked punt. Yeah. Touchdown for the Steelers as they come back. From 10 down in the second half to beat the Bills 23-16. Yeah. You always got it. You know, a lot of people were down on the Steelers this year thinking, this has got to be the year. Big Ben's looking aged. They always just, Mike Tomlin just finds a way to make his teams competitive every year. And they go right into Buffalo, and the Bills have beaten them the last 2 years head-to-head in primetime. and went right into Buffalo and stole game one of the season.
Yeah, and very sincerely, as your Buffalo fan, JR, you said, why can't we have nice things? I mean, you've really completely forgotten about the Sabres. You've had this entire offseason where everyone's telling you how good you are, people picking to go to the Super Bowl, and then you just have the game. And again, one game, and then this year we get to say actually 16 more to go with a 17-game season. But I just felt, oh, come on. That was just a bit of a letdown. You want to beat one of the big boys there to open up the season, and not the case.
Last highlight for this segment, at least, comes from Kansas City. Browns up big on the Chiefs at one point, 22-10. And then Patrick Mahomes became Patrick Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill became Tyreek Hill.
He's being chased as he heaves it down the bar, and the man is there. It's Hill, able to get away from John Johnson, who was in the locker room to start the quarter. And he crosses the goal line for a one-play strike.
There you go. And 75 yards in total, 197 receiving yards for Tyreek Hill on the day, including that 75-yard touchdown catch and three touchdown passes and a touchdown run for Patrick Mahomes. They come back and beat the Browns in a very competitive and exciting game, 33-29.
Yeah, and very much watched a fair amount of that, JR, and just thought, hey, Cleveland looking pretty good. Baker Mayfield, and again, kind of another, not kind of, another tortured fan base. And you have a situation there where your punter drops the ball in a key situation. You're like, come on. And then I don't end up being the winning score, whatever it ended up being. But yeah, very competitive game for Cleveland going in there and looked very good against Kansas City.
They did, but they lost.
But exactly.
Kansas City found a way to pull it out. So the Chiefs win that one, and the game that you and a lot of, well, we'll see how long people stick. It sounds like people are re-emerging onto the Patriots bandwagon.
Yeah, for sure.
They took on the Miami Dolphins yesterday in the debut of Mac Jones, the rookie quarterback for the Patriots. He ended up 29-39, 281 yards, one touchdown pass, no interceptions, but they lost the game 17-16. Here's the very succinct review from Bill Belichick on his rookie quarterback.
I mean, Matt competed hard. I thought we had a lot of guys competing hard, but we just gotta perform better as a team.
There you go. He competed hard like everybody competed hard.
Yeah, and not major mistakes, JR. Not a wow factor necessarily, but for a first game, I thought was fine. The part you noticed, or I'm sure is driving the hoodie crazy, was the turnovers, eh? I mean, there was one that they actually recovered. I think at least two that were fumbles. And if you've been to Patriot Land, anybody else, that does not, that's not going to go over well. So
that's how you find yourself on the bench or sometimes cut.
Yeah, exactly.
Who's the guy they had that one week had? Did he have four touchdown runs?
Oh, God, yeah.
Then he fumbled the next week, and he was cut the week after that.
Yeah, no, exactly. Went right to the bench, and I'm trying to think if I can actually pitcher. But, no, that was the kind of the theme of yesterday as they start to get going. And if you're a Miami fan, I think pleased with the way that two end up playing. Boy, that's a strange motion. Oh. Just like watching a golfer, when a quarterback throws lefty, boy, that's a weird.
He doesn't look like a natural thrower.
No.
He looks kind of stiff.
Kind of a heave almost.
And they did get the win, although speaking of bad turnovers, I mean, that interception he threw toward the end, halfway through the fourth quarter when he just threw it up for grabs, I mean, that would drive me crazy. Turnovers drive me crazy as a coach, but one like that, when you've got the lead and he's running around and he's got no hope and he just throws it up for grabs, those are the mistakes can land you on the bench.
Well, and I was watching it, and as an expert in football, I was explaining to a group of 13-year-olds that in rolling right and throwing this, and all I did was get chastised that it was actually a great throw and the receiver should have had it. And I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going to go to my room. Because I'm watching that. I'm like, you don't go into that side, opposite side of the field, and like you say, chuck it into, you know, there were 13 different players there, probably seven on the Pat side and six on the Dolphins. That was not a smart play at all.
Significant injuries in week one. Washington lost quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick with a hip injury that looks like it is going to keep him out for some period of time. So that means, is it Taylor or Tyler Heinicke? I think it's Taylor Heinicke, who, of course, went in and last year in the playoffs and performed admirably well. In a Washington loss, will be stepping in, it looks like. But already the rumor's beginning that Cam Newton could end up with Washington, be reunited with Ron Rivera, his coach in Carolina. There's a connection there, potentially, if Fitzpatrick, and he's going to have an MRI if he is out for an extended period of time, that maybe that's where the campster ends up.
All right. After week one, what's the power ranking for the Eagles division there? You got Cowboys,
Eagles. All I know is the Eagles are in first place.
Okay.
1-0, baby, leading the division. Yep, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, I don't think you're feeling good if you're a Giants fan and for the Washington Football Club. So it's going to be a two-horse race, Cowboys and Eagles.
I would say, yeah. I would, you know what, I picked Washington. Yeah. I picked Washington with Ryan Fitzpatrick as the quarterback to win the division. I'm not feeling as confident about that if he's out for an extended period of time. Still got a great defense. Still think they'll be in a lot of games, like their receivers and their players on offense, other than the quarterback.
Yeah.
So we'll see on Washington. Yeah. I'm not writing them off just yet.
And also funny, I like everybody fixated on quarterbacks. I'm watching Baker Mayfield, who he is playing out his fifth year option, right, Jer? They never worked out a contract extension on him.
I believe so,
yeah. Yeah, and you go through, and I'm thinking, how good does Sam Bradford feel that the next guy is there? You end up beating him, and for my boy Jimmy G, who continues to be ridiculed all the time, and they're going to move past him and bring in the next young flavor of the day. Boy, he looked pretty good for the Niners yesterday. I know a lot of it's a running game, and he's certainly supported by a great crew, but boy, that looked like a well-oiled machine, did the Niners.
All right, Monday Night Football wrap-up week one. It's the Ravens and the Raiders. Kicks off just after 8 o'clock, and we'll have it for you right here on TSN 1200. It is 6:43. When we come back, we'll get into the red-black story from the weekend, which isn't quite as positive. They fall once again, this time in BC, and we'll talk about the Blue Jays. What a weekend that was with the Bats. In fact, an historically good weekend with the Bats for the Blue Jays, and so we sit here this morning on this September the 13th with 3 weeks to go on the season. The Blue Jays are in a wild card spot. We'll talk about that when we come back right here on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Yeah, we're looking forward to bringing you another season of Sens Hockey, all beginning this Saturday. Gord Wilson and Dean Brown will have the call from Canadian Tire Center. 4 o'clock will be the face-off time as the Sens prospects will take on the Habs prospects. And again, development camp will continue this afternoon, day 3. They'll kind of flip it over, so they'll move from skill development to a rookie camp starting on Wednesday, which will involve more practices under the watchful eye of Troy Mann and company. And then a couple of exhibition game versus the Habs prospects Saturday, and then Monday afternoon back in Montreal.
Yeah, and early rave reviews for Mr. Sokolov. I don't think that's a surprise, but also Mr. Kastelic, or how are we saying that? As I play with his dad, Eddie.
Yeah, he was his dad was Ed Kastelic, and this kid, I think, Mark Kastelic.
Yeah, going with that.
They've changed the pronunciation
since. So looking at that, and Sogard and Mr. Cruikshank has looked very good as well. So, yeah, a little change in that, but boy, his dad was Mr. Ed was a big rig back in the day, JR. Did not like the fine sport of ice hockey, a very intelligent man. But if it sounds like he is growing and is bringing his dad's size to the rink, that could be another bottom six player for Ottawa.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's what development camp and rookie camp all sort themselves through. And then main camp, which we said, will begin a week from Wednesday. All right, let's get to the Blue Jays story. Because, well, depending on what team you're cheering for in the NFL or for the Red Blacks, may have not been a great weekend. If you're a Blue Jay fan, though, my goodness, that was something else. The Saturday doubleheader sweep of the Orioles, in which they came back, and again, they play seven-inning doubleheaders now. They came back to win in the seventh inning, both games. Both had go-ahead home runs. Now, in the second game, the go-ahead home run was also followed by 9 more runs. And they were no-hit through the first six innings of that nightcap, and then scored 11 runs on 11 hits to win 11-1 in the nightcap. So they swept on Saturday and then kept the hitting going on Sunday, capped by this.
The 1-0. Hernandez swings and he drives it. Deep right field. Stopping at the wall because it is gone! The Blue Jays with 2 grand slams!
There you go. And this was in the first 3 innings of the game. They had 2 grand slams in the first 3 innings of the game. Oh, and Vladdy Guerrero also had a home run. His Major League tying 44th home run of the year. He's tied with Shohei Ohtani now. With 44 home runs. The Blue Jays had 5 home runs. They scored 16 runs in the first 3 innings of the game. And the final was 22-7. I'm not sure. That does speak to the Blue Jays and absolutely the offense they can put together.
Yeah,
it
also
speaks to how horrendous the Orioles continue to be and have been for several years.
Yeah. Well, gosh, way back when Angelos first bought it was not bad. Had a little bit of the ending of Cal Ripken, pretty good teams. But since then, it has been an absolute gong show. And as for the Jays, hey, that is nice. 19 games left, JR, tied with the Red Sox, although they do have a couple of games in hand. And now they head down to play Tampa. So I think you're peaking at the right time. And, boy, I'd love to to see a one-game showdown between them and the Red Sox. And I know you've talked about, hey, having an ace-like Sale, but still feel like for where the Jays are going and where the way they've been playing, boy, if they can win that one game and get into a playoff, they're going to be dangerous.
Yankees still hanging around, although they lost last night, so they're only a game back. And the Orioles, the A's and the Mariners are, I believe, both three back. So essentially have five teams for two spots. Yeah. But the Blue Jays right now are in the driver's seat, and as well, they're playing the best baseball of the five teams as well. So things would look to be encouraging on the Blue Jay front. All right, so that puts a wrap on the Blue Jay. And we'll talk more about that throughout the course of the morning, because that was, and again, they, by the way, I should mention the other record they broke. They had 47 runs scored in the four games, and that breaks a record set in 1978.
And also, funny of that, the two of the games were only seven innings, Jer. Right?
Yeah,
so that's a bit different. And also, Mr. Gurriel with a grand slam yesterday, hammer his fourth of the year, which is a Jays record. So quietly making some noise here, and I thank God for SportsCenter, because here are these great things that I can bring to the show.
Now, we watched the second half, the back end of the doubleheader on Saturday.
While you were tipping your pints.
Yeah, so I didn't quite hear it, but that's got to be a record for the number of hits in an inning to break a no-hitter. 11 hits
of any sport,
in one inning.
Of any sport that would have a statistic like that, baseball would have that,
It's got to be
most
somewhere.
Most hits in an inning after you've been no-hit for at least, what, three innings?
Yeah, something
in, like that. In a game that only goes seven innings. Wow.
You started to feel bad for the O's.
No. Really? Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah.
You did.
Is there anybody at the game, Hammer?
In Baltimore, there's a few.
Okay.
They set a record, though, in the middle of last week. I don't know who they were playing, because I did read this. Their lowest crowd they've had at Camden Yard was 47 or 4,800.
Wow.
I'm not sure if that's bums and seats or that's tickets sold. And they had a couple like that in the middle of last week.
Yeah, and as expected, I guess, with anywhere. But, man, when Camden Yard's first opened, boys, that was one of those tickets, one of those places. If you haven't been, you're a baseball fan. It's just gorgeous, right? You'd go there almost like Fenway or other places where it doesn't matter if it's baseball, but if the Orioles are good or bad. But to imagine how far they fall, and I'm assuming that just down the road they lost a lot when the Nationals came to town and they got a beauty park, but people used to come from Pennsylvania, Virginia, Connecticut, all over to watch the Orioles play, and I guess post-Labor Day never helps, but no, it's a very, very sad state that franchise is in right now.
They've just been so bad. Major League Baseball's basement dwellers for so long, it's no surprise now that the fans have said, forget it. I don't care how beautiful the park is. I am done coming and supporting you guys.
And Hammer, they've just lost the faith in the market. As we've talked about some of the things here in Ottawa with Tkachuk and Signals. I mean, it's just to say, it's such a terrible atmosphere, a relationship between the fans and the media to the Orioles. It's been, really is kind of strange. But that's also the part of baseball for owners like this, JR. You can do this and still actually make a profit. That's the sad part.
All right, so that's a baseball story. We'll finish the hour with the Red Blacks. There's not a whole heck of a lot to say. They got thumped again, this time out in BC. They fall 45-13 to the Lions.
Davis in the gun, five receivers, three to the short side of the field to his right. He throws. Oh, it's intercepted, and this is going to be a pick six for the BC Lions. Picked off by Bola Combo. And that is exactly what Ottawa didn't need right before halftime. 34-13 Lions.
There you go. And that's AJ and Jeff Avery with the call. And, I mean, they let the opening kickoff was a long return for BC. They go right down the field. They score a touchdown. They have the Red Blacks on the ropes in the first half. They return a missed field goal, 119 yards for a touchdown. Yet the Red Blacks are down 28-13 before that play right there in the last minute of the first half. And I know Duke asked Paul Appelese about it in the postgame show about that particular play call, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to run out the clock? Because that was a play of it's not a play which is going to get you many yards. It's not a play in which you're going to run out the clock, because potentially if it's dropped and the clock stops, like, what was the purpose of that play call? And then from that, you had Dominique Davis throwing an interception, which unfortunately is what he does far too often.
Exactly.
You see the arm, you see the athleticism, you see the glimpses, but he's 32 years old.
Oh, exactly.
Dominique Davis is what he is. We saw this in 2019.
Yeah.
There are little glimpses of good things, but they're far overshadowed by bad things.
Yeah,
that's the reality of the situation, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He's probably a good backup quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
But right now, the starter here in Ottawa, Matt Nichols, his arm looks like it's shot, and he's not capable of being a starting quarterback either. So what are we? What are they left with? They're left with no answers right now, unfortunately.
No, exactly. And without that, JR, and also for Coach Campbell, and Coach Campbell's also the general manager of the BC Lions, is he not, JR? Or he's taken on some personnel side?
Well, Ed Hervey got either fired or something happened.
That's
there,
right. That was based on the signing bonus, right, with the quarterback over the. But if for Coach Campbell, I mean, hey, first one here in Ottawa, you're probably focused on your team. Just absolutely smoking the Ottawa Redblacks had to feel awfully good. You know, I mean, hey, you're a competitive man, and he's a quiet man, but I'm sure he was heading home for a nice cigar and a glass of scotch after that one on Saturday night.
Yeah, they beat them two out of the last three games did BC. Yeah. So Ottawa's lost four in a row. They're 1-4. Again, they're just a couple of games out of second place in the East, which does get you a playoff spot, but there is no indication right now that this team is about to turn the corner.
Yeah.
They are getting, it would appear to be worse as opposed to better. Now, they got a bye week. We'll see what happens. The players are off for most of the week. I think they're going to get back to practice on the weekend. Their next game is a week from Wednesday versus Hamilton. That's another huge divisional game. But they need to get it turned around quickly. They need to try and find out somehow, some way, the answer at quarterback. Yeah. They've got a couple of young kids. I don't know that, you know, I'm not down at practice. I don't know whether these guys are ready. I don't know at 1-4 whether you're ready just to kind of let's throw everything against the wall. It seems a little bit early to me. I know, you know, a lot of fans reacting yesterday were like, let's try one of these other guys, the first two guy. And I get that sentiment, but I also know if you've got young guys and they're not ready, that can be even a further hindrance to their development. So I don't know what the answer is. Yeah, maybe we'll find out from the coach when he joins us after 8 o'clock.
Yeah, probably not. But, hey, at least get him on. And a couple of games, JR, you're already at the halfway point. So, yeah, we'll see where it ends up going for the Red Blacks. And that's a difficulty in a short season like this. And only in reading what AJ said on Twitter, which was a different theme, first couple of weeks was defense and special teams is very good. Offense needs to catch up. And he quite simply said not very good in all three facets. And you do wonder energy and morale from the defensive side, whether or not you just lost faith and understand no matter how hard you play, and they're going to play hard all the time, but realizing offensively you're just not going to be able to get it done.
Yeah, I'm not accepting that. I'm not accepting the defense has given up because the offense stinks. The defense stinks right now too.
They're
no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They can't tackle. Yeah. They can't cover. They can't seem to rush the passer. So those three things together would lend me to believe that their defense isn't very good either.
But the rest looks good.
Well, Lewis Ward did make
two. No, I meant the rest of the defense.
Kicks.
I don't know what other facets there are, but
Lewis Ward did make two of his three kicks. Unfortunately, the one he missed got returned 119 yards for a touchdown. So it was, it's not good right now, folks. There's no other way about it. Again, we'll have Paul Appelese coming on just after 8 o'clock this morning. We'll get the coach's thoughts ahead of a week off and then a return to action coming up next week. We'll take a break right now at 7 o'clock, get you the latest news, and run down a very busy scoreboard. Week 1 of the NFL almost in the books with a Monday nighter come. We'll get into that and more on the hockey story, bring you right up to date on the latest on the Brady Tkachuk front as he remains unsigned as you wake up this morning. And speaking of the Sens, we're going to mark a very, very, very important date, an anniversary, which has kickstarted this rebuild with the Ottawa Senators. We'll revisit that with you as well. Coming right up here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.